There it is.
Okay, now everyone on the best behavior.
Oh, what a shame. Ed is not going to be on the call today.
Oh.
Do we have anybody else join us?
Elizabeth is here.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Liz.
I lost my... Oh, there it is. Never mind. Found it.
Your WebEx?
Yeah, it went away.
Bill Dunty and Dale are here.
Hi, Bill and Dale.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hello, this is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello, everyone.
So this is Jennifer, and Ed's not going to be on the call this morning. I'm just going to run down the roster and see if we have anyone that I've missed. Is Michael on? Tatiana? Peter?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Joanne? Christy? Tom, Donaldson, Kathy?
I'm guessing a lot of people have not recovered.
Dan?
Exactly.
Ken Warren? Do we have Leah or Helen?
Helen's here. I'm sitting for Bill today.
Okay. Okay, so I have Ken Jones, Elizabeth, Jeff, Sarah, Tina, Peter, Johan, John, Sarah Jo, Dale, Bill, and Helen. Did I miss anyone? Okay, so we don't really have too long of an agenda today, but there are a few things to bring up. The first is just to remind everybody your current funding cycle ends May 31st. So it's very critical that everybody get their data into the repository. You've heard over and over again about, you know, data don't exist until they're in the repository. So I think it's really critical that everyone make an effort now to ensure that everything does get uploaded into that repository. The other thing that I think is that we wanted to just touch upon are the publications and our process for publications. So this is just kind of a reminder, and Jill has it up on her screen, so everybody should be able to see that if you're on the WebEx. This is just that flow chart that we have of the process of from concept to publication. And again, I just want to really remind people of this process and encourage them to use it. And I think Jill had some examples just to show how this goes, starting with the concept proposal form.
Sure. Let me switch over to my screen. I just have that as a file right now.
But, and I think really at this point, probably more importantly of getting the manuscript information and the post publication information on there are really important.
So everyone can access the information by using, I put the links in all of the conference call reminders. You can also always find them here in the publication protocol form section of the secure section of the CFAS website. This is how you get to all of them. So if you have an idea for a paper, you want to submit a concept proposal form, and that looks like this. You briefly explain what you're going to do, and then once you've submitted a manuscript, you fill out this form. And then once your paper's been accepted, you fill out this form, and NIAAA and NOFAS and Jennifer have access to this form once it's been completed so that they can share the information. Things that are asked in the form are things like, let me pull up one. I'm going to use an example of yours, Sarah. So this is just an example of the concept form that she put forward. And on the concept form, she continued to update it throughout its process. The paper submitted, the paper's accepted, so she made all these comments within the viewing section of the concept proposal's viewing document that all of you have access to. And then after the paper was accepted, she went ahead and provided this information to the form, and then this is accessible to everyone that can distribute information about the publication, including things like a Twitter feed line that she thinks might be useful. And in case you're wondering, you know, what forms have I done, which ones haven't I done, I'm going to start sharing a link that shows this Excel website or Excel worksheet that tells you which concept proposals you've submitted, which manuscript submissions you've submitted, and which post-acceptance forms. And if I can just bring your attention to this one column that talks about the CP number, that's just the concept proposal number, and that's listed on the concept proposals thing. That way you can tie back all the rest of the things to that number. And it's possible that maybe one of your concept proposals doesn't go forward, or maybe you put a concept proposal 6 and 7 together to make a new paper. Like, that's fine, but it just lets us track what's happening and what progress is happening on those papers. And then once they get to the manuscript acceptance stage, we've got the links and then the PMCID numbers. So that's the process, but it only works if you use it. So...
Yeah, so I just want to encourage everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
This is Dale. Just remind me, the timestamp, is that that is applied when?
When the person submits the form.
Okay. All right. And
one of the nice things of Google Forms is they do that so you know exactly when it happened. And I update things once a month, which I may not be always good at that, but I'm going to be better at it moving forward.
Any other questions on that? And again, that last piece is very critical because it helps us to distill what the publication is in terms of communicating it to a lay audience, and this is what we can use both for forwarding that information to NIAAA as well as to NOFAS so that your research can get incorporated into their presentations. So, okay. So really then I think the main thing for today is just to go through project updates. So I'm just going to go down the list here. Sarah, you want to start us off? Anything to update?
We have a paper that I think I'm sure we've talked about before. I noticed it on the list that we've been working on, the neural correlates of, I don't remember the title, verbal learning and memory maybe? I don't know. It's all a blur. No.
Some people haven't recovered, John.
Yes, exactly. No, and it was submitted, and one or maybe two journals declined to accept it, and we have it under review at a third journal, and they requested revisions, and we're just about ready to resubmit that. And so we're hoping that that'll be, that it'll move through the process quickly and be successful. In terms of project, other project information, one of the things we're working on now is trying to look at the data that are in the central repository to look for places where we can improve, our, data in that's being counted. So for example, if we're missing a measure, we're trying to identify whether it's a measure that actually exists and just didn't get uploaded, all in the interest of trying to, you know, increase the data that are available in the central repository. So we've been working a lot on that and hoping to make some progress. We looked at the number of kids with neurobehavioral data in the central repository, and there were 833 people last week, and the vast majority of those people also have dysmorphology exams, about were maybe 700, oh, definitely over 700 of them had this morphology exam. So we're doing really well, I think, from that perspective, and we're just continuing to move forward.
Okay. Any questions for Sarah? Elizabeth?
Yeah, so Christina, you've been working on revision of a paper that we're doing primarily with Jeff because it's got the pubertal hormones in it, and she's just finished a major revision, but I'm pretty sure within the next week or so we'll be resubmitting that. We're continuing to work on the longitudinal brain data. We're going to tomorrow be looking at some data, looking at longitudinal changes in the DTI images. So,
okay.
I don't know if Jeff has anything he's still working on.
Yeah, we have a paper that used data from all four sites that was submitted to Neuroimage Clinical once, came back for revisions, and we put that back in on February 23rd, so we're just waiting to hear back on that one. And then we are currently, we've got some updated data from Eric Kahn, from all four sites, working on a longitudinal analysis of the cortical gyrification. So that paper is in the works as well.
Cool. I'd love to see what you're finding. Before you get too far along, or not before, during the process.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, we just figured that we reached a point where we had enough of the time 2 data that we can start pulling that together. So.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, Tina.
So we are working on some papers, one that was just submitted led by a PhD student to alcohol, looking at some immune response stuff, and then a second paper another PhD student is working on, looking at markers of oxidative stress. And we're reworking a concept that we had turned in some time ago that a postdoc was working on, looking at maternal iron status and growth and preterm delivery outcomes, and that needs to be reanalyzed, so that's being done by Gretchen. And we resubmitted an application to NICHD to do whole genome sequencing with of some of the mother and child pairs that we have with Tatiana Farood. And we received and have distributed about 35 child venous blood samples to Rajesh and Joanne, and bought some supplies for Rajesh so they should be able to do the microRNA and markers of inflammation pieces of the child samples in this project period before the end of May. And then we're going to Ukraine, Claire and Julie and Ken and myself, the week of April 10th. To talk about the winding down of this project and hopefully if there's an opportunity to move forward. And that's it.
Good. Any questions for Tina? Then we'll move to Ken.
Yes. You said we're going back to Ukraine in April, and I can't remember if it's May or late April that I'm going to Atlanta to see kids for Claire and Julie. And I think it's in May also that I'm going to Minneapolis to see kids for Jeff. And although it's not necessarily relevant, I don't think to this group, we've gotten a paper accepted on stigma as it relates to mothers of babies who drink alcohol during pregnancy, which has been accepted for publication.
Good.
Not particularly relevant to CIFASD, I know.
Ken, you're coming to Minneapolis on April 21st.
Oh, am I saying? Yeah.
Technically.
I'm on the podcast, so right now I'm in Burbank seeing a guy who's up for some horrible thing that has the fetal alcohol syndrome. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, Peter.
Well, Mike has been in India for a week and will be there for another 2 weeks, but that's nothing to do with CFAS. That's a holiday. So I'm currently addressing the rebuttals on the two papers, the ultrasound paper and the ethnic comparison paper, and when they're finished, I'll be getting back to Mike's first draft of the face brain paper, and then considering completing the analysis of the past data and the new facial measures. But that's really mainly addressing incomplete analysis and then preparing drafts of papers. So a lot of writing actually in analysis.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's it.
Johan.
Yeah, so we have a couple papers that we're preparing, one on the RNA-seq data that I think you've all seen, and another one on the effects of alcohol on our BANGL2 mutants. So my grad student is working on both of those right now. Scott's not on the call, but he's working on a paper where he was examining the protective role of loss of Bax function in mouse. We generated a zebrafish mutant in one of the homologs, and so we contributed that to him. So that is being prepared for submission. And then both, I can't remember her name, but one of his postdocs and my postdoc, Ben, were selected to give talks at the upcoming teratology meeting.
Okay.
And that's it.
Any questions for Johan? So I don't. That's it for project. Did anybody join us after that I've missed?
Joanne, here.
I came on late. Sorry, I was a couple
okay.
from another meeting.
Okay. I'm on too.
Oh, hello. So what we're doing right now is just going through project updates. Mm-hmm. Tatiana, you want to give us an update?
Sure. So I know Jeff Rogers is going to Atlanta, I think, next week with you, Ken, right?
Tatiana, say again.
Yeah. I think Jeff is going. Aren't you going to Atlanta next week?
I am, yes.
Yeah, so Jeff Rogers is going with you, not Leah. Leah and I have another meeting to go to, so Jeff Rogers is going with you to Atlanta. Just wanted to make sure you were aware of that. And then I had talked about that this over the last 2 weeks, but we're doing whole exome sequencing, we're presuming, with some additional funds in the project. So we'll have 140 more people that will have be sent for whole exome sequencing. And as you know, there were about 60 that were the individuals who had fetal alcohol syndrome, full spectrum, that we've already done. So this will be doing individuals that are also sort of have a lot of dysmorphic features, but also importantly for us, identifying individuals who have alcohol exposure and didn't appear to have any cognitive or face. And then the last thing is also we've been working on a paper with Michael Tarnas. And those are kind of the three things that we've been focusing on.
Good. And Joanne?
Hi there. So we are working on the paper on the maternal cytokine profiles that I've presented, and that's moving along. Tammy and Charlize have been working with Gordon and Allen from Tina's group, and the analysis is moving along really well. So I think we're getting closer, and I hope to get that out in the next month or so. And we just got, as Tina mentioned, a shipment of child samples, and we're going to run those either in April or May. There's a huge experiment going on right now in the lab, but in the next month or two at the most, we will run those. So I think that's it from our side.
Okay. So again, just to remind everybody, use the manuscript submission form and especially that post acceptance form. So as soon as you get information on those publications, if they're accepted, we want to be able to get that information to NOFAS and NIAAA as fast as we can. So be sure to use those tools.
We'll do that.
Does the Science Advisory Board have any comments or things you want to discuss?
Well, I'd just like to suggest to everybody that, you know, regardless of what your score was on the review for CFAS 4, you know, take a look at what the summary statements are saying when you get there, and they're going to be identifying, you know, ways you might improve things, and that's something that you can start to address early on.
John, is there a score for the whole consortium from the review?
I think you should ask that of Bill. Does that happen, Bill or Dale?
Is there an overall score? Because I know everybody got individual scores, but
yeah, everyone's score will be for their individual applications.
Right, right.
There is no overall score for the consortium. Mm-hmm.
There is or there is not.
There is not.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
So yeah, I think you know at this point we just have to kind of wait for summary statements to come out.
Yeah.
The latest I heard was summary statements are going to be out by the 1st of April, 1st or 2nd of April.
That's pretty good.
That's the timeline we're looking at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty quick.
Jennifer, before we get off the phone, can we go back to the Google Docs? At the beginning, you mentioned Ed's wishes to get the data in.
Yes.
As we get close to the May 31st deadline, I think.
Do you have the Google Docs? You can put it up there.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Thanks,
Jill.
Good.
I think we're concerned, and I think here at NIAAA, and maybe this is part of a broader discussion. You know, some of the Google Docs look like we're on target with our goals, whereas others are lagging and have been lagging for, you know, months. And so we want to just pose this question to the group as to whether, you know, if the Google Docs don't improve, are we going to have enough subjects to do the analyses that were planned in Phase 3 to get the papers out? Out of Phase 3. So it's kind of a broad question, but I want to throw that out to the group and to see if anyone's got any comments about that.
Particularly the clinicians.
Well, this is Sarah. We are all continuing to collect data. As you know, we have pretty strict policies about what counts in the central repository, and as I mentioned, we're looking at that right now. However, I will say that I know the neurobehavioral project and the neuroimaging project, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but we've all been actively working to analyze data to meet the aims of our projects. From my own personal perspective, I can say that we've definitely been able to answer the questions that we posed in our original application with the data that we have. Of course, more data is always better. I feel confident that we've been able to address the aims of our, and will continue to address those aims, not only through the rest of this funding period, but beyond that with the data that we've collected.
Yeah, and I would add the same. We're, you know, actively working on lots of different questions to address the aims, and I'm not concerned that we won't have enough data at this point to keep working. I mean, there's a huge amount that we can keep doing. I'm sure Jeff would agree.
But yeah. As a follow-up, are we talking about the data being collected in Phase 3 or the database in its entirety?
I guess I don't know what you mean.
I don't either.
Well, you know, so just looking at the Google Docs, you know, for example, like the neuroimaging, you know, we have a we have certain goals, and then, you know, time one scans and time two scans. And it seems like the time two scans across all the sites are have been kind of stagnant in terms of their numbers. Now, I don't know if that's just getting into the repository or if that's a problem with recruitment. And will those time two scans be essential to, you know, being able to answer the questions as posed in the phase three applications?
Well, I mean, I agree. More would be better. I mean, I know we are still collecting data on time two. I believe everyone is still collecting
data. We are.
Yeah.
Set, Mr. Sarah. Mm-hmm.
Green. Okay.
Yeah, I would say that the issue with time two, we are basically done with our one group of our time two subjects, and we're somewhat flatlining on the other group now at about somewhere around 23 out of the 30 that we had initially scanned, or the 35 that we initially scanned. The part of the issue with the follow-up is you do lose some to things like braces and kids moving away and whatnot. So we're still in the effort to get those people back, but there will be some gaps there in terms of how many that we ultimately have. I would say that we have started looking at the time two data, and we do have numbers where I feel confident that with some of the measures we're going to be able to do the longitudinal analyses correctly. And obviously we'd like to have everyone back, but it's not going to be realistic to get everyone back.
Yeah, we're finding the same thing in analyses that are ongoing in our lab. We're seeing we have enough data to really answer some questions that we pose in our AIMS. I mean, it's hard to decide, do you wait until every single, you know, scan is completed, or do you, you know, pick some point in the process, which obviously we have, Jeff and I, and, well, probably not Sarah yet with longitudinal. But it doesn't mean we can't go back and rerun analyses once we have more in terms of moving forward outside CFAS 3.
All right, thanks for explaining this to us.
And I put up the PDF document, but I also have the actual document, the Google Doc, pulled up. If there's something that would be better to see there, just let me know.
Any other questions or comments from NIAAA?
No, we're good. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, again, I just would emphasize everybody to get the data once you have it into the repository, because that's really critical. Did Tom and Kathy, did you join us?
Yes, we did. It's Tom here. Yes, we had some telephone problems on our end, so if you called on us, sorry, we couldn't hear you. But just quickly give an update. We have, thank you, I think Jennifer, you and Jill both mentioned the post-acceptance form. Yes, that's very important. We have a number of lectures and presentations, meetings coming up, and it's always very important to have just the latest research to be able to present to folks. Just to highlight a couple of those, Kathy is at Duke University, what, next week or very soon?
On Friday,
okay.
With Claire Coles.
And then in Denver with the Canadian Pediatric Society, a presentation there. We're also at presentations coming up with child welfare population and addiction professionals, two separate presentations. And I think we heard Ken mentioned the stigma paper, and Kathy's on that paper, I think, with Ken and with Dr. Korg and
yeah,
a few others. So that's in the works, coming out soon. And also, there's sort of separately, there's an effort to reconstitute the Congressional Caucus on FASD, and NOFAS has been asked to brief some members who are interested in serving. And so, again, having your research at hand is always very important for those meetings. And just the last couple of things, I think, and we'll make sure everyone's aware of this if they're at all interested. We're going to be doing another media training webinar fairly shortly this spring, and we've also, we're leading the effort with for activities for FASD Awareness Month in September. So Kathy leads a group of, well, their monthly meetings to come up with some sort of dynamic, visible ways to get the message out, in particular during that month. And in past years, Bill and Dale are on. We've done Twitter chats with NIAAA and some of the researchers, so we'd love to do those types of things once again.
Right, so there's a whole committee that we meet by phone. The first call is on April the 27th at 2 p.m. If anybody would like to be included on the FASD committee call, certainly let me know, because we would love to have your input and ideas and creativity to collectively work together on ideas. So thank you.
What was that date, Kathy?
That's the, what did I just say? Sorry, I just shut my phone here. I think the first call, wait one second, is actually, I think I misspoke. I think it's March 30th at 2 p.m. is the first call.
Okay.
On a Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I can send this out to the group, to Jill, to disseminate, or certainly just contact me.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Thank you.
Thanks. Do we have any other agenda items or anything else that people want to discuss today?
I just wanted to let people know that if you need anything, like the password for the secure section or anything, to just contact me.
Okay. And then just one other final thing, just a reminder to everybody, the RSA registration and accommodations are open now, so you can go ahead and get registered for that, as well as the Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorder Study Group. And
to follow up on that, just make sure you email Jennifer and I if you're doing any CFASD presentations at RSA, so we can get those on the website.
Yep. Okay. Well, I knew it was going to be a short one today. And again, just remind you, get your data into the repository and fill out the post-acceptance forms as these papers come through the pipeline. And, you know, RSA will be coming up before we know it. So thank you, everyone.
Best meeting ever.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done, Jen.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.